Welcome to the Condo on the Moon. It has been kind of a downer of a week in professional wrestling. If you've been living under a rock for the past 48 hours, just sad news in the wrestling world. The loss of Dusty Rhodes to the wrestling business and Virgil Reynolds, his real name, and just a crying shame because Dusty was one of the guys that, you know, and you've seen it in the outpouring of love towards him. Not too many people had a bad thing to say about him. I don't imagine Chris Walder, the Swiss millennial, will be any different. You know, we start the show on a down note, but seeing Dusty pass on, really sad news, especially for the folks down at NXT where he played a vital role down there.
Yeah, if you looked at some of the tweets coming out from, you know, Kevin Owens said stuff, and so did Finn Balor. I mean, just paying a tribute to a guy who had a, you know, a profound impact on their growth in NXT, and, you know, all the work he did as a mentor and helping the guys with, and the girls with their promos. I mean, it's so sad to see a guy, a genuinely good person. I mean, we've followed his career from when he was in the NWA and then WCW and making his way to WWE and working behind the scenes. So it's a huge loss for World Wrestling Entertainment and the professional wrestling world in general.
And let's be honest. I mean, people in the WWE will focus on his time in the WWE, but that was a real blip on the radar of this guy's career. He's contributed more down in his work in NXT than he ever did in the WWE itself. He had maybe two notable feuds, one with Randy Savage, obviously, where Condo on the Moon, so that one jumps right to the front of the mind, and one with Ted DiBiase. But by and large, Dusty Rhodes was a lot like Harley Race in the sense of his run in the WWE. It was really at the end of the road, wrestling-wise, and he really, you know, his footprint in WWE isn't as large as they're going to make it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, NWA was his bread and butter. I mean, you look at his feud with Ric Flair, probably one of the greatest one-on-one feuds ever, you know, when Rhodes eventually became World Heavyweight Champion. But, you know, in WWE, he had the polka dots. He wasn't the American dream, per se, for Vince McMahon. But, again, his impact is going to be felt for years and years to come with the guys that he helped train down in NXT. And, like I said, I mean, those guys not having him around anymore, you know, NXT will be fine, but losing that kind of a contributor in Rhodes, I mean, it's a crying shame, and it's very sad the way he went.
Yeah, it's a huge loss, and for people who don't know the circumstances, apparently he was just at his home and had some kind of a fall, ended up being hospitalized, and literally was gone within hours of being admitted to hospital, so it went really quickly, and of course, still has his son, Cody Rhodes, active in the WWE. Cody Rhodes' wife is a ring announcer in the WWE, and Goldust is kind of on the IR from what I remember. So, you know, three active members of the WWE affected by this tragedy as well as, you know, all those, as he called them, as Kevin Owens put in his piece, his NXT kids. Like, you know, really, I don't know how this tour is going to go for NXT, but maybe a good time for them to be out on the road and traveling, touring this week, as they've been kind of booted out for the Tough Enough show and are out on the road touring for this weekend.
Well, they did a show in Pittsburgh last night, and apparently William Regal came out and gave a 10-bell salute to Dusty Rhodes. But ultimately, when you look at Dusty's death, I mean, it just goes to show in the grand scheme of things in human nature. Go out there and tell the people that you love them, and don't let it fall to the wayside, because you never know when somebody's going to be taken out of your life unexpectedly. No one saw this coming with Dusty Rhodes. It was, you know, it just happened in a matter of hours, and within a couple of days, Rhodes is gone. So it shows you how fragile life can be.
Yeah, and I mean, 69 in wrestler terms, that's a pretty high number to get to. We've seen so many guys die from unnatural causes at very early ages, far before their time, but still, there's just such a great loss with all the Dusty Men, as you mentioned, his rivalry with Ric Flair, the great promos that came from that rivalry, the Hard Times promo, which a lot of people have posted up there, which not only reflected his rivalry with Flair, but I think it really reflected how things were in the 80s at the time, where a lot of people were struggling, and a lot of people were out of work, and going through difficult times, and this was a wrestler in this fictitious, silly world that is wrestling, illustrating through his character the hard times that a society as a whole was going through, and it really is one of the greatest promos he ever did, and I'm sure you can find it easily online, but it really is a sad loss for wrestling, and a sad thing to happen. There's never a good time for stuff like this to happen, but I just think, you know, because it came so quickly and so unexpectedly, there's lots of names we would have thought, you know, could have passed away at a moment's notice. Dusty Rhodes wasn't one of them.
I'm interested to see what WWE does this Sunday. I mean, we got the Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up, and you and I will obviously preview that during this podcast. You know, what does this mean for the future of a guy like Stardust, you know? I mean, his father passing away, maybe they just throw away that gimmick and give Cody, you know, make him go back to normal per se, but I hope WWE does Dusty right on Sunday, gives him a proper farewell, because, again, you know, the impact he made on WWE, NXT, you know, so many people cared about this man, and he cared a lot about them as well, so rest in peace, Rhodes.
Yeah, just a guy who... There's a million stories out there in the wrestling business about Dusty Rhodes, and pretty much all of them are absolutely funny. And, you know, there's lots of happy memories of Dusty Rhodes for people to cling on to. And I'm sure many of the people that, you know, were involved with him will share those stories. And his legacy will live on beyond just a bunch of footage in an archive. And you know, he was a guy who really... embraced life and had, we talk about his in-ring career, but this was a guy who was a booker in this business for years and years and years. I mean, he has his own finish named after him, the Dusty Finish, where, you know, we saw one of those in WWE just recently. So, I mean, you know, he's contributed to the wrestling business in far more than just being an in-ring competitor, be it, you know, behind the scenes in booking, working with the NXT kids, and just a huge loss for the wrestling business, and generally speaking, a good guy that you didn't hear any real bad stories about.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find many people out there who would have a bad thing to say about the America Dream, and when you look kind of back at his career and what he's done for every organization that he's been a part of, it's going to be difficult to dispute him as not being maybe one of the 10 greatest stars in professional wrestling history.
Yeah, he's up there. I mean, he was one of the best, and there's no doubt about that. You know, it's funny, we transitioned out of this somehow, but it was really an uneventful week in wrestling until this happened, because I just thought Monday Night Raw absolutely stunk. I don't know about your feelings about it, but I had actually DVR'd it, and I literally was on my fast forward button because there was just nothing entertaining on that show.
The only thing I enjoyed even slightly was the Kevin Owens match. I mean, big surprise there. Owens always delivers, and he had a good bout with Neville there for a bit, but I think Raw is always going to be determined by how great the main event is, and having Seth Rollins out there with J&J security and having Dean Ambrose kind of sitting ringside and goofing off and whatnot, it just wasn't for me. And we've kind of gotten ourselves into a pattern where the go-home show of Raw before a pay-per-view is always really bad, but the pay-per-view is always exceeds expectations, so hopefully that's the case this time.
You know, not only that, I thought the segment that was absolutely brutal on the show was The Miz, Ryback, and The Big Show.
Right.
I actually watched this because I saw the three people and I'm like, okay, this is going to be exceptionally bad. I need to stop and actually watch this.
Yeah, it's not a good pairing with Ryback and Big Show, who are going to fight over the IC title on Sunday, and then you throw The Miz into the mix, who's wearing that stupid, you know, hood garment, whatever you want to call it, to make himself more Hollywood. And then you have the three of them sitting there in the ring on the microphone. Not one of them appeals to the crowd through their verbal skills, so you have to sit there for 10 minutes and put up with it, you know, a little scuffle at the end. I don't see the point of it. I guess they were just hard-pressed to fill time.
Why do the people like Ryback? Because they clearly do. I don't get it.
He's a big goof. He can appeal to children. I think the older audience isn't necessarily a fan of his, just like they are with John Cena. And I think they're kind of trying to force Ryback back down our throats like they did when they originally debuted him several years ago. So, again, Ryback's improved in a way. He's not the disaster he once was, but, you know, he appeals to certain people, and I'm certainly not one of them.
But he's not at talking. I think even his fans would admit talking is not this guy's strong suit. I mean, not that in-ring was so great, but if I have a choice of watching Ryback actually wrestle or actually talk, I think I'll take the wrestling.
It's the epitome of what it means to have a catchphrase and for that to be, you know, near 100% of the reason why you're over. And I think, you know, feed me more, it's easy to fall in love with when you're a certain age. But, again, what kind of substance does Ryback really have? Not a lot.
But the New Age Outlaws had just the catchphrase, and that's all they did. They went out there talking in soliloquies for 10 minutes on, you know, Miz TV. I don't understand why they're putting this guy in front of a microphone. It's like Chinese water torture for either him or the audience. I'm not sure which.
It's a little bit harsh, but, you know, you have to add depth to a certain guy like that. And, again, he's the Intercontinental Champion. He has to be more than just a catchphrase.
He isn't, though. And that's the bottom line about that. As for the Divas, I don't know what the hell's going on there either. Nikki Bella, is she a face? Is she a heel? Is she, I just want the damn title off this girl? Like, I'm so, like, confused with what goes on in the Divas division on the main roster. It makes no sense to me.
She's going to be breaking AJ Lee's record for consecutive days as Divas champion. It looks like it anyway. She posted on Instagram recently saying she surpassed the 200-day mark, and I think at this length of time, you know, she's going to be fighting Paige on Sunday. We'll talk about that later, of course, but I think with AJ's, you know, controversial, you know, reign in WWE, especially with her husband, I think they kind of want to erase her from the record book. So don't be surprised to see Nikki hold it for another 100 days or so.
Oh, you just turned my stomach. That was awful.
It's true, though. It could happen, right?
Right, it's true. Because they want no part of CM Punk or AJ Lee in that company's history, and that's the way the WWE is about things like that.
Exactly.
Speaking of CM Punk, the NHL Finals, we're not hockey fans, but the NHL Finals are going on. CM Punk has gotten into a verbal war with the Hulkster. I love this just on the sense that it's CM Punk and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, with the Tampa Bay Lightning and Chicago Blackhawks. I think, yeah, Punk was giving Hogan grief because Hogan was hyping up the crowd or it was an interview or something, and he mentioned the coach's name, and he completely botched it, and Punk called him out for being a pretend bandwagon fan, and you have no business talking about the NHL, and we all know how passionate Punk is about his hockey, so, and he'll take any reason to kind of poop on Hogan. So it was very awkward, very intense, but what else would you expect from CM Punk, right?
It was classic CM Punk, and, you know, apparently that UFC training has not stopped him from being the diehard Chicago Blackhawks fan that he has been in the past few years, so that's good to know.
Oh, yeah, that's what matters, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is with that guy. I don't know, we had a little glitch there. I mean, we might have missed some of that CM Punk, Hulk Hogan talk. That would be sad for the people, but we'll fix it all in editing.
He's sabotaging this podcast. First of all, he blocked me on Twitter, so I do everything I do in life now that screws up, I blame CM Punk.
Yeah, but what did you do to get blocked?
It was my fault. My bad. I reported about that leaked photo from his wedding on WrestlingRumors.net, and he apparently saw it. So
that's right. You see, don't mess with CM Punk. If you're good, no one gets blocked. Kevin Owens blocks a lot of people too, and we love him.
He does. He hasn't blocked me yet, though, but I haven't tagged him in anything. So
well, you haven't said juvenile stupid things that are misspelled and grammatically incorrect either. That's what Kevin seems to love to talk about or talk to, the people that cannot talk back.
He's the grammar police, and he's good at it.
CM Punk, he did Grammar Slam, so he's one up on Kevin Owens there. But, you know, he does pick out the grammatically challenged individuals. I laughed at this one Cena fan that tried to make some response to Kevin that was really, I can't even repeat it because it made no sense.
People need to learn their English, man, especially when you're going to be on Twitter and these big celebrities may end up retweeting you to the world. Come on now, know your spelling and grammar and punctuation.
If a Swiss millennial like Chris Walder can get it down, come on, people.
Of course, I'm Swiss. What do I know about the English?
That's right.
It's amazing I can write.
And Cesaro, too. He can tweet in English as well.
Hey, he was hyping up that that tennis player who won, I don't even, I'm trying to talk about tennis, he won a major tournament, and I don't even know his name, I don't even know the tournament he won, but Cesaro was retweeting it, and I got all excited and pretended that I cared, but again, us Swiss people, we gotta stick together.
It wasn't Federer.
It wasn't Federer, it was the other guy, but again,
I was gonna say, if you didn't know Federer, that's pretty bad.
No, I know Roger Federer, he's only the biggest Swiss athlete on the planet.
Yeah, well, are you cheering for your Swiss women here in the Canadian Women's World Cup here?
I am, but they disappointed me. Well, they were playing the defending champions. They lost 1-0 on a penalty shot, and I didn't see if Cesaro actually tweeted about that, but it was very disappointing.
Yeah, so Canada, meanwhile, one win, one draw, so we're on top of our group. So that's
we're doing all right.
Good news. The Americans go tonight. They play Sweden.
Yes.
For all you soccer fans out there. Actually, Cesaro, during the Men's World Cup, I believe it was him and I think it was Sheamus. They were doing, like, World Cup reports. They were very interesting to say.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Wade Barrett. No, it was Wade Barrett and Cesaro.
Yeah.
So there you go. And
Sheamus might have done one or made an appearance during one of them.
Maybe. But and Wade Barrett, he should just quit this WWE thing and become, like, a soccer analyst. He got a gig on Sportsnet when he was injured.
Yeah.
Did very well. Doing much better than this King Barrett gimmick. I say quit and become a soccer analyst for Wade Barrett. That's what I suggest he take his career path and do.
He's Billy Gunning the King of the Ring.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if he's Billy Gunning it. Like, it's worse than that, isn't it?
He's setting an all-time low for the King of the Ring prestige. And, God, if he loses to R-Truth on Sunday, that'll be the final nail in his coffin.
Like, they actually tried to push the one Billy Gunn. Like they actually tried to push that. I'm not convinced there's any push that's been attached to King Barrett.
And then Billy Gunn had to kiss the rear end of an overweight woman at SummerSlam when he had his big match with The Rock, and then that was the end of him.
And he lost to The Rock, and that was it for him. You know, I don't know. It's been a down week, man. Entourage hasn't done well at the box office. I'm very upset about that because that means we're probably not going to get a sequel. I'm very upset this week, Chris Walder. I don't know. I'm inconsolable.
Well, you're not excited about the pay-per-view then, I assume.
Not really. I mean, I hope Kevin wins again. I think the tease on Raw certainly was suggesting that he'd win again. Because John Cena went as far to say as, the safe money's on me. Like, really, John?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, they're kind of assuming that everyone follows the whole John Cena feud timeline, where it's like, the heel goes over first, and then Cena gets the second match, and then Cena emerges.
Gets the third match, and then the fourth match.
Like, that's the formula that he's been using for the last decade, and that's why I feel, and again, we'll save it for our big, extravagant Money in the Bank preview.
Yeah, such as that will be. Anyway. But yeah, I don't know.
I missed ROH on Wednesday. I was disappointed because my boy Dalton Castle, he had that match with Liger.
That's very good. You should go out of your way to find that.
Yeah, damn, man.
I was there for that. It is. It's a very good comedy match. That's what it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
And Liger is fantastic in it, as is Dalton Castle. I recommend people go out and seek that out. But yeah, the Wednesday Night Wars were at it again. ROH and TNA. The two paths towards the pay-per-views that these companies are having are about as divergent as their futures, I think. Like, ROH really is doing a good job, I think. I've seen all their TV leading up to Best in the World, and what I saw, and I don't know how much of it's actually aired yet, but what I saw in the lead-up to Best in the World, some great television, and really good stuff leading in to their pay-per-view, whereas TNA, they actually have a pay-per-view coming up, don't have a match announced for it, and they're supposed to have a live show on a Friday, but yeah, they got moved to the Wednesday, so now they're actually going to have to tape after their pay-per-view, before their pay-per-view, if that makes any sense to you.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But it's TNA we're talking about, though, so it doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, Slammiversary, they have at least one match. They got Ethan Carter challenging Kurt Angle for the title. Ethan Carter's probably the only soul in that company that I could care even the slightest bit about. And then Dixie Carter came out today on Twitter and said we're getting Magnus versus the guy that dumped his wife into a moving train or a train tracks or whatever that stupid thing was, James Storm. So that's the only thing we got booked for Slammiversary so far, but in comparison with Ring of Honor, Best in the World, I mean, holy crap, the main event itself, right? Jay Briscoe, Jay Lethal, you got the number one contenders, triple threat match, you got the Kingdom versus the Bullet Club, and now you got the Ring of Honor tag titles on the line in the no DQ match. So what else could you ask for?
Yeah, I mean, those four alone sell that show. I mean, really, you don't need much more on that card to convince people to be invested in it, whereas TNA, it's a disaster. I don't know what the numbers were for week two. Do you know for the television?
Both shows went up.
Both shows went up.
Yeah.
So did who went up more, I guess, would be the question.
I just saw a brief snippet somewhere, and they said Ring of Honor and TNA both get a boost.
Well, there you go. But actually, when you look at it, TNA getting a boost isn't really them getting a boost, because they've really bottomed out. I think ROH has actually stopped them from going lower.
Yeah. If anything, they're helping them, yeah.
Yeah, if anything, because they had gotten down to, like, 200,000 or something like that. They were drawing, what was it last week, 279?
Something like that.
Like, that's bad when you consider this company, as bad and as mismanaged and just hellish as it has been, always found a way to draw 1 million to 1.1 million on Spike, and now we're down to a fifth of that.
Well, I mean, you have to take into account that Destination America isn't in every household, right?
But it's still, even if you factor that in, they're still down. Like, because Destination America, I believe the number is something like they're in 60% of the homes of what Spike is. Something
yeah.
like that. So if you took 60% of 1,000,001, that's not 297,000. It's not even close.
I'm a math idiot, and even I know that's true.
Yeah,
so yeah.
We won't do the exact math for you, but obviously, you know, it's not working out too well. And you know, for ROH, I think the big thing for them, not so much television ratings for them as much as how much can they turn this into pay-per-view buys.
Right.
Because from their point of view, I think that's why they're on Destination America, is to boost their pay-per-view business, because that's the main selling point for them, I think.
I'm really curious to see the pay-per-view buys they get up for this upcoming pay-per-view. I mean, of course, one of the big reasons you get on television is the first place is to get more exposure, but then hopefully that translates into pay-per-view buys, and they're putting together one hell of a card with arguably the biggest match in company history, so I mean, we're rooting for ROH. That's what we do every week here on the podcast.
I mean, if they don't beat Slammiversary on pay-per-view, I don't know how ROH could ever beat TNA. Because they have so much going in their favor as opposed to TNA's pay-per-view, which, I mean, to most people, I think is a rumor.
In what sense is it a rumor?
I mean, it's like it barely exists. Like, it's just, it's been so under-promoted.
Oh, you mean Slammiversary as a whole?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's been the case for their big special events for the last year, though. We don't know, we never hear about the cards, we never hear about what's going to happen. They barely promote it because their biggest concern right now is trying to get those ratings up on Destination America and surviving. And I don't, pay-per-views isn't going to make or break them. It's the television that matters.
I don't know. It's a weird situation where, I mean, they've cannibalized their own pay-per-view business.
They did, yeah.
Like, they've just done a terrible job. What can you say? TNA Dixie, you know, she is what she is.
And again, we're not rooting for the demise of TNA.
I am. I've got the point. I'm rooting for it. I just don't care anymore. Like, if you're on that sinking ship, it has Titanic written on the side. If you haven't been able to read that by now, like, I mean, you deserve to go down with the ship.
Okay, I only speak for myself then. Because wrestling, it's never good when you see a company go down like that, because they do have talent, and we're not saying everyone in TNA is a joke, because they're not. But at the same time, with the people that are running it behind the scenes, i.e. Dixie Carter, I mean, whatever, any negativity that happens their way or comes their way is on her entirely, so...
There's a bunch of people behind the scenes of that company.
Oh, yeah, there's more than Dixie, it's not just one person, but it's the people...
But she's the one that's hired all these people, so, I mean, the buck stops with her, but... No, I'm tired of that whole idea of, oh, well, you know, it's bad for wrestling. No, you know what? It's bad for wrestling that TNA exists. When advertisers don't want to advertise on wrestling programs because of TNA, that's bad for everybody. I look at it in that way. Like, get rid of them. They're just a leech on this business that isn't helping anyone get anywhere.
Okay. Tell us how you really feel, Borbat.
I'm not in the mood to mess around with TNA anymore. Just go away.
Okay.
And I mean, Global Force Wrestling, at the rate they're going, they might as well go away too.
Well, they haven't even started yet.
That's what I mean. They don't have a TV deal. They're not going to get anywhere. This is Jeff Jarrett trying to create another pipe dream. If Jeff Jarrett hadn't have found Dixie Carter, we wouldn't have Global Force Wrestling, and we wouldn't have TNA, and you know what? Wrestling would be better for that.
And then James Borbath drops the mic and walks away.
I'm just saying, like, Jeff Jarrett was out of money with TNA within the first couple months.
Yes.
And, you know, Jeff Jarrett is notoriously cheap, and obviously has become even cheaper with this Global Force Wrestling. But still, like, give me a break.
All right, well, I'd like to see at least one show of it before I start pooping on it.
If you want me to root for something, root for people that are actually doing it. Like, I haven't watched it, but Lucha Underground, from what everyone says, has been really great.
Yeah.
Let's hope they get a second season from El Rey Network, because people genuinely seem interested in that product, and they're genuinely doing something that, from all I can tell, is unique. I embrace that. ROH, they don't try and be the WWE. They do their own thing. I embrace that. But I'm not going to embrace TNA and their, oh, woe is me, we can't catch a break bullshit.
They should just throw themselves in front of a train.
That would be a good idea, too.
There's the final episode of TNA on Destination America. They go to the same subway station that James Storm talks to Mickey James in front of. They grab Dixie Carter and just throw her there, too.
Billy Corgan throws her under the train.
And then he plays off, walks off into the sunset playing some sort of smash.
Some Smashing Pumpkins hit.
And that's TNA's last episode.
There you go.
Oh, God, that would be perfect.
That coming September.
Why are we not writing for TNA?
We could kill the company in 1 week. It wouldn't be hard.
We'll Russo it up.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, that's your ROH and TNA talk for the week. Honestly, I don't have a lot to talk about this week, because I don't think a lot happened, and then with the death of Dusty, it kind of took all my focus away from anything that I did remember that happened. So other than this WWE pay-per-view, is there anything that we should be talking about that I have clearly just missed or omitted?
No, it was very slow. I mean, because you're only getting like these 2 week breaks now between pay-per-views, and sometimes you get this filler crap, and sometimes you get a really good episode of Raw, which I mean, we haven't gotten in a couple of weeks now, but it all leads up to this Sunday, Money in the Bank. The card looks good. It's not the greatest Money in the Bank event we've seen. It's kind of, you know, has a reputation for being one of WWE's more solid pay-per-views of the year, but this one just feels really, you know, put together last minute, and the intrigue and the interest on my part really isn't there, but I'm leaving myself open to being impressed by the quality of the matches at the very least.
I did hear one thing actually, and it was right before the Dusty news. I heard a health update on Tyson Kidd.
Oh yeah,
he's lucky to be alive and not paralyzed, and it is likely out a year, they're saying.
Holy crap!
So like he damaged the cervical 1 and cervical 2 vertebrae in his back and his neck. That's like the worst you can do. That's like the highest on the chain. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like that's what happened to Christopher Reeve, to put this in perspective for people.
Oh wow.
Like how he's alive and walking is amazing. If I were Tyson Kidd, I'd honestly, seriously consider, you know what, maybe I'm done.
Does this fall on Samoa Joe, though? Because he was the one who put him there.
In all honesty, they're saying no. It was just one of those freak things. I haven't seen the match. It was a dark match. I don't think we'll ever see it based on what happened to Tyson. So it's hard to tell, but from the reports that are out there, it was just one of those freak things, like what happened in Mexico, where that Mexican wrestler unfortunately died wrestling Rey Mysterio. So,
well, obviously we wish Tyson Kidd a solid recovery. But again, what also happens to his tag team partner now? What comes of Cesaro?
He's got to go singles, I would think. And then if Tyson ever comes back, you do the whole "you forgot about me" angle, and they feud.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Cesaro reunite with Swagger. I'd love to see another Real Americans run.
Is Swagger even still around?
He was on SmackDown, I think.
Was he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I would have to double check, but
he's
remember
in the Witness Protection Program, as far as I'm concerned. Like, Zack Ryder has got more TV time than Swagger lately, and that's saying something. Zack friggin' Ryder's getting more TV time than you.
Well, Ryder's appearance, you know, during the Entourage segment made sense because it was in Long Island, and then they're doing.
But he got two more out of that too.
Yeah.
So like, he got like a big wave of television.
But Swagger, what do you do with him? He's a very specific kind of guy. You know, he threw him into the roost a few years
ago. He never should have gotten rid of Zeb. Zeb was what was getting him over.
Zeb
goes away and it's all over. I think Zeb is gone.
He's just out of the company.
I don't think he is. Maybe he's on a Legends deal, but I don't think he's active with the company anymore.
Well, damn, man. Okay, well, that explains why Swagger is in the dark, because
there's no
he needs
Zeb.
That voice, yeah.
He needs Zeb. Like, Zeb was the only guy who's ever gotten Jack Swagger over, let's face it.
Absolutely.
He's the only guy ever to get Jack Swagger over, and he did it twice.
Yes, he did. Well, Swagger has a lisp, too. It's hard for him to make cut a serious promo, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, unless they break character and then they say, these are the characters that we play. We're not actually crazy redneck Republicans. Remember that?
Redneck Republicans, yeah.
Well, that's what they were.
Yeah.
They were basically Tea Party guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became actually popular in wrestling, which scares the hell out of me.
Yikes.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. We don't want to get into politics on this show, though, I don't think.
No, I don't know a damn thing about politics.
Especially American politics, because you're Swiss and you live in Canada.
Because I'm Swiss, I can't understand American politics. That's only 75% true.
Well, yeah, and you live in Canada. So even if you did, you're Swiss and you live in Canada. So what's an American going to care about what you have to say about their politics?
I don't even understand Canadian politics.
Canadian politics is a lot more confusing on some levels, but we'll have these discussions at another time.
Mm-hmm.
The politics of wrestling, however, are pretty easy to understand. You kiss up to Vince McMahon, and you get a match, and it's on a pay-per-view, and if you've kissed up really well, like John Cena, you usually win a lot. That's how it works. We use that as the lead in to Money in the Bank, where I guess we'll start with the Money in the Bank match, even though it's not going to be the opening match and it probably won't be the kickoff to the show, but I think it's the least I have to say about of any match on this card. Roman Reigns is going to win, folks, and it's fairly obvious. If anyone else wins this match, I may join Dusty Rhodes in the Great Beyond, because I will be in shock.
WWE has made zero attempt to make anyone else in this match stand out, and they tried a little bit on SmackDown when they had Neville dive onto everybody, but we always know whoever gets the last laugh on the very last show heading into a pay-per-view probably doesn't end up winning, so we eliminate Neville from the equation, and then you got the likes of Dolph Ziggler, who's already won it, Randy Orton, who's already won it, Kofi Kingston, who's a tag team champion. You know what? It would be kind of interesting to see Kofi win it, only because they've teased that everyone in the New Day would have the opportunity to cash it, so I think that would be interesting, but at the same time, they're probably, like, third in the pecking order. I think Kane has a little bit more of a chance for them than them just because of the storyline. But, I mean, there's absolutely no way Roman Reigns doesn't end up pulling that briefcase down.
I think R-Truth has a better chance than The Fiend against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, probably. That was kind of funny, though, on Raw.
I actually enjoyed that. That was one of the few moments in Raw that I did actually stop, actually watch, and say, that was damn funny. Because the honest truth is, did you remember that he wasn't in the match? Because I didn't.
No, I knew he wasn't in it, but that's why I was surprised when he came out.
See, I didn't. Because they've stuck him in so many weird situations of late, where he had the WrestleMania match for the Intercontinental title. He was in the Elimination Chamber. I was like, oh, they put him in Money in the Bank, too? Wow. I don't remember that, but sure, why not?
A little inside humor for them.
Oh, I mean, honest to God, like, that was the funniest thing.
I was going to ask you to rank the Money in the Bank competitors. But
zero, 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 zero. Roman Reigns, 100, zero, zero. I don't know.
Well,
zero.
Just for argument's sake, if it's not Roman Reigns, who's the most likely of the rest of them to get it?
I don't see anyone. I really don't. Like,
that's why we're talking in theoretics here, man.
But theoretically, they booked this match in a way that I don't see anyone else possible in winning.
Not one person in this match has it.
No. Honestly, no. Like you, some people are going to say Dolph Ziggler, but please.
No, Ziggler has no chance.
Yeah, that's not happening. It's definitely not happening for Neville, even though people may be Neville fans. I mean, I think it's been made pretty clear who the WWE has faith in terms of their NXT talent. It's not Neville, it's Kevin Owens.
Neville's kind of just an attraction superstar who
gets
over because he's a high flyer. Like, he's never going to see him as a world champion.
He's going to be career mid-card, and if people have a problem with that, so be it.
Fine, though. You need guys to be like that.
But the guy can't talk, and, you know, all he can do is wrestle. And to me, he's Kofi Kingston, he's Ricky Steamboat, he's that guy. Although Ricky Steamboat went elsewhere and was a world champion and was able to climb to another level, but in the WWE, he was always mid-card.
I'm still rooting for you, Neville, but you have a ceiling, my friend, so that sucks for you. But, again, Roman Reigns is going to win Money in the Bank.
We've already spent much time on this.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is winning, folks.
Okay, well, when is he cashing in?
SummerSlam.
Really, SummerSlam?
Yeah.
I think the trend with Money in the Bank, it's always SummerSlam.
Well, no, you know why I say this? Because I think he's going to try and take the title the same way that Rollins beat him for it.
Oh, well, it's Rollins and Lesnar is the main event.
And then he's going to join in and blah, blah, blah. But what could be interesting is what if he doesn't, and what if he cashes in and he friggin' actually turns on Brock and helps Rollins win?
Well, that would be interesting. I wouldn't see that coming.
You wouldn't see it coming, and I think that's what's most likely to happen.
So this briefcase is the precursor to Reigns' heel turn.
Yeah, like everyone's going to think, oh, he's going to come out, win it, he's going to screw Seth, and instead he'll go after Brock, and he'll screw Brock, and Rollins will win.
and Rollins becomes the first guy to pin Lesnar since the streak ended.
Whatever. He wins.
It's important. It's an important moment.
You know what? In all honesty, we can talk about the title match between him and Dean Ambrose if you want as well, which is a ladder match, which makes no sense on a Money in the Bank show, considering the Money in the Bank ladder match had better be better than their ladder match, because if it's not, boy, are the seven guys in that Money in the Bank match not doing their job. But that being said, the Rollins title reign as a whole, I think, has been a disaster.
It's been poorly booked, and it's because they've been trying to make him as more of this cowardice heel instead of a legitimate champion. I mean, you look at most of his victories over the past couple of months, it's always been through help via the authority or, like, some sort of controversial ending. Like Extreme Rules in the steel cage match, he used an RKO to win, which was apparently banned in the first place. And then at Payback, in the Fatal 4-Way, you know, Kane distracted Randy Orton, and then Rollins comes in and hits the pedigree. So he hasn't had a clean, definitive victory since probably winning the title. So now that's why they're kind of putting that into the ladder match feud. Can Rollins win by himself without Kane, without J&J's security? So this might be, you know, hopefully, if it all plays out accordingly, this might be Rollins' biggest win yet.
Yeah, but even still, I don't know. Randy Orton was kind of in the same situation when he was feuding with Daniel Bryan, and I didn't feel like he was as bad off as Seth Rollins is. I really think he's just floundering. They're not letting him do what he's best at, which is in-ring. I think his talking, while it's all right, I think the more I hear of him, the less I like him.
This is kind of why I'm hoping, you know, like you said with the Roman Reigns heel turn, I would really like to see a double turn right now, where Roman Reigns becomes the bad guy and Seth Rollins becomes the face. Because I think Rollins is better off being kind of like that CM Punk, Jeff Hardy crossbreed. And then you put Reigns, that have him be, you know, give him a voice, give him a Triple H or somebody in the authority to be by his side, and then to kind of turn the tables that way. I think it would be best for both guys.
Or maybe the new Shield. Seth Rollins, long-haired Roman, and Kevin Owens.
Okay.
That would be insane.
I wouldn't want Owens to be a part of a faction this early. I think he's better off by himself. But I like the way you're thinking, James.
But if he was the head of the faction,
Rollins,
and there was
not
tension,
be the head of it.
You never know.
No.
If he beats John Cena two times in a row, hey, Roman Reigns hasn't done that. Neither has Seth Rollins. Just
Can we
saying.
Talk about that match? Because that's really the main event.
Well, we will talk about that match, but we have to... So, we see Seth retaining this, right?
I think Seth wins by hook or crook, yeah. There's no way Ambrose is pulling that belt down, man.
It's sad for Ambrose, because I think, you know what? This title kind of needs Ambrose to win it.
He's holding the belt, though. He's held the belt in his possession the last couple of weeks. You can kind of pretend that he's the champion.
He had a title reign, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, like his Intercontinental title reign.
Yeah.
All right.
He beats Rollins cleanly on Raw, and then he pins him at the pay-per-view. He's had more credible wins than the champ has in the last couple of months.
All righty. Well, you know, I don't know about that, but it is what it is, I suppose. We have a Divas title match on this card. We alluded to it. Wow.
Oh, all right. We'll talk about it.
Nikki Bella, based on what you said earlier, Nikki Bella's going to win.
Yes.
I'm going to be sad. Paige is going to go off and do her reality show. And be in a movie with The Miz later. That's awful.
This match doesn't matter to me, because I'm more interested to see what Nikki's next feud is. She's gone through Naomi. She'll probably go through Paige at the pay-per-view. This feels like the perfect opportunity to bring up Charlotte.
I just want to see Nikki lose, period.
She's not losing.
She's destroying the Divas division.
For 200 days.
She's been destroying the Divas division. Like, flat out, I don't care what people say about, oh, Nikki Bella's gotten better wrestling, Nikki Bella's better at this and that. No, she has destroyed the entire division in 200 days. You compare what's going on down in NXT to compare what's going on in WWE, it's mind-blowing how much better it is in NXT, and it makes Nikki Bella look like a sideshow freak, quite frankly.
God, they're teasing the hell out of those four girls in NXT coming up together, eh?
Like a four horsewoman thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which wouldn't be a bad idea.
That would save the division.
Actually, speaking of four horsewomen, I don't know if it's going to happen, but Shayna Baszler got cut from the UFC. How soon before we see her pop up in NXT somewhere?
I don't know about that, but...
I don't know.
Stick to being a fan.
I no, I mean, of the people, like, Ronda's gotten in a ring, but Ronda knows very little about pro wrestling. Shayna Baszler basically can wrestle. She knows how to wrestle. She could do a 10-minute match tomorrow if you wanted her to.
Sucks she couldn't do Tough Enough then.
Yeah, well, you know, she wouldn't really fit in with the Tough Enough now, would she?
I don't know. It would be cool. It would add credibility to the reality show.
Oh, no, honestly, let's take a break from our pay-per-view preview. By the way, we both think Nikki Bella is going to win. I've given up on saying she's going to lose. Now maybe if I pick her, maybe she'll lose. Anyway, let's take a timeout. And another thing we glossed over. These finalists for Tough Enough. What frigging Venice Beach gym were all these people cast from? Because, my God, no wrestling fan I've seen in the show looks like any of these people.
Yeah, you're not seeing any Kevin Owens impersonators on this show. It's just all the muscle-bound, you know, like you said, the beach.
Even Noelle Foley would have been hard-pressed to make this cast.
No, Noelle Foley, let's talk about her for a second.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. She's a good-looking, normal-looking person, and I think she would have a hard time, as a normal person, not McFoley's daughter, of making this cast.
Yeah, they advertise that anyone could be making the cut on Tough Enough. No, that's not true at all. It's only the people that they think are marketable. And
we have come a long way from Maven and Josh Matthews. Let me just say that.
Oh, yeah, Josh Matthews, oh, man. I totally forgot he was on that show.
That's right.
Little skinny
and
run.
Now he's just a jerk on TNA Wrestling, just being a troll on Twitter and whatever else he does.
He doesn't even sit there ringside doing commentary. He's in a little box
somewhere in TNA land. And he's getting paid, so don't you worry about Josh Matthews.
Yeah, because that's what we're all concerned about.
Well, yeah.
His health and well-being.
Yeah, follow his Twitter account if you want to follow a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I've never seen someone more douchey than that guy. Anyway, so that being said, Tough Enough looks like it will be no fun at all.
And my boy, the Big O, got eliminated already. Zack Ryder's buddy.
Oh, he was in there? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, he was cut. They showed it on the WWE YouTube page.
Oh, well. You know,
there you go, the only guy who anyone could have probably
allowed. If CM Punk couldn't get Cole Cabana in, do you really think Zack Ryder was getting the Big O in?
No.
Obviously.
I should have known better.
Anyway, but that being said, Tough Enough does not look like it's going to be all that promising. It looks like it's going to be a bunch of Barbie dolls and muscle-bound Rybacks.
Just gives me a reason to stare at Lita for 40 minutes.
Yeah, Lita will be on there. So will Paige. Soul Page and Daniel Bryan, for people who are missing him, he'll be there too. But as for producing NXT's next big star, I don't think they're coming from this show.
No, that's not happening.
No, but they will try, and it will be fun watching them try to make these people big stars that they're not.
Yes.
Mojo Rawley, you know, they tried.
Oh, Mojo!
Actually, he popped up again, like recently, which scared me.
NXT?
Yeah, he met up with Zack Ryder. There's someone to guide your career.
There's your tag team of the future. There's your new NXT tag team champion.
Wow.
Don't even be shocked if that happens.
That would be depressing.
Ryder and Raleigh.
On many, many levels.
R&R.
Anyway, back to the pay-per-view.
We haven't talked about the big match yet, but let's get through all the filler first.
Yeah, what are the filler matches? I don't even know.
It's, we got the kickoff match, R-Truth versus King Barrett.
If Barrett loses, he should have to retire.
He needs to go away.
Just retire, take my soccer analyst advice, and leave.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I guess you're taking King Barrett just for the...
I don't think... R-Truth can't win.
No, he can't.
Like Barrett will have spiders or something.
I think R-Truth recently beat him on SmackDown. Last week, so.
You never know. But yeah. A 40-year-old R-Truth should not be winning matches. I love the suntan Superman, who, by the way, for all the hate I have for TNA, I loved R-Truth in TNA.
He was good.
When he was the suntan Superman, Ron Killings, he was awesome.
He was good.
And he used to friggin' rile up those hillbillies down in Nashville, and I thought they were going to kill him. But they didn't.
Hillbillies.
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Nashville, though.
No.
So.
You're not allowed there anymore.
I don't want to go there.
Okay.
Like, Jeff Jarrett's there and Dixie Carter. Why would I want to be there?
Well, just for the sake of this, I'm going to put you down as picking the Sunday at Superman.
All right. Anyway.
Not that it matters. But
there you go. Whatever.
Yeah, we got the Intercontinental title match we alluded to earlier.
Oh, Ryback versus the Big Show. Well, considering Ryback just won the belt, I would find it highly unusual and highly stupid if the Big Show won this match.
And considering the show, the only thing anyone would care about in this match, and that's Ryback picking up the Big Show for the show shock, they gave that away on Monday Night Raw. No one cares. Ryback retains.
Yeah, unless he blows out his quad trying to pick up the Big Show.
Yeah.
Then all bets are off.
That's the only thing interesting that can happen here.
Wow. Someone blowing out their quad is what's the interesting point of this match.
Big Show in a title match is proof that the Money in the Bank match needs to be cut down to three guys, just so we don't have to get these no names in these title feuds.
I don't know. Anyway, what else is going on?
Now we got the Piece de Resistance. That's all that's left. Kevin Owens and Cena.
So no tag team match?
Oh, wait, there is a tag team match.
Yeah, the New Day.
Yeah, the New Day and the Primetime Players.
Yes, the New Day will win.
Yeah, okay.
Although I am loving the Primetime Players, I must admit.
Nah, I don't know.
I like the Primetime Players. I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with them in this feud, but not like as a long-term like top team in the division.
I don't know. But would you have picked the New Day to be that team 3 months ago?
Oh, they're hilarious, those guys.
Yeah, but that's 3 months ago, would you pick them to do that?
No, because they weren't heels at the time.
Well, right. So, I mean, things can change. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, before we talk about Owens and Cena here, what about the other tag team that doesn't seem to be in the title picture at all? And that's Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. They used the 3D on Monday Night Raw.
And boy, Ray got pissy about it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can't use my move, son.
Well, apparently they can and did deal with it, you TNA reject.
Is there any chance we get a match between those two teams?
It's theoretically possible, but I doubt it.
SummerSlam, maybe?
I just doubt it. Like, I mean, based on how they used Bully Ray at the Royal Rumble as some nostalgia pop thing in Philadelphia or wherever they were, I tend to see that as highly unlikely.
Still, for the record, I'm all for a Dudley Boys reunion to take on Harper and Rowan. It would be a physical match. I'd love to see it.
It's more likely the Dudley Boys go fight the Kingdom in ROH. Let me put it that way.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Like, I'm being honest about it. They fought the Young Bucks on the Indies. It's more likely they'll fight the Young Bucks somewhere than appear in the WWE and fight anybody.
Hey, it's still a payday, right?
Hey. It is a payday, and the Young Bucks will gladly super kick their faces off.
And there's your Young Bucks reference for the show.
It was. I had to get it in there. I just realized we always... Well, we mentioned them briefly when talking about the ROH card, but still.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't...
Anyway, on to the Young Bucks' favorite friend, who has matching gear of theirs. He is one Kevin Owens. He will not be wearing his Young Bucks gear to face John Cena, unfortunately. Mainly because it has the F word on it, and WWE ain't down with that. But probably some other reasons, too. But anyway, Kevin Owens, John Cena, the rematch. Like John Cena said, he's the betting favorite. Everyone expects John Cena to win. But because they've leaned so heavily on it, and the other thing I found interesting was Cole kept alluding to the fact, yeah, but what if Cena doesn't win on Raw? And Cole doesn't do anything, like, on his own. So if Cole is teasing that and throwing that out there, I tend to think that Cena might lose.
Yeah, I'm going that direction. I think Kevin Owens is going to win for a sake of straight pay-per-view, which is almost unheard of. because you didn't see Bray Wyatt do that, you didn't see Rusev do that, and now you're getting this NXT guy who a good majority of the audience hadn't heard of, you know, because maybe they don't have the network, or maybe they didn't know of Kevin Steen's work. But now Kevin Owens at Money in the Bank is going to defeat John Cena cleanly, pop-up powerbomb style, once again.
And where this goes from here, I'm going to project it out a little further. I think John Cena will screw Kevin Owens out of the NXT title on July the 4th in Japan. And that will be what... Because Kevin, what's going to happen is John's going to want another match after this. And Kevin's going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's beat him twice. Why should he? What's the point? There's nothing left to prove.
That doesn't seem like a John Cena thing to do, though.
It isn't, but it isn't a John Cena thing to lose two in a row, either. I think he's going to screw Kevin Owens out of the NXT title.
Hmm.
And then all the Cena people will be like, oh, is he going to turn heel? No,
yeah.
He's not going to turn heel, but he is going to screw Kevin out of the NXT title.
Yeah, I could see that happening, but...
And maybe Kevin returns the favor and screws John out of the U.S. title.
So we get Owens versus Cena for the next 2.5 months.
SummerSlam. But I think we get no match the next pay-per-view between the two. But I think in between those two times, like in between SummerSlam and Money in the Bank, both will cost the other losing their title, and then they will face at SummerSlam.
Okay, compelling stuff.
I like it. WWE seldom follows my ideas, but...
Yeah, it's very true.
You know, but with Kevin Owens, this has been all out of the box. I don't think we've ever seen the WWE go in a direction like they have with Kevin Owens and John Cena. And it's really... I really like how they've made this story bigger. In the sense of they've used the microcosm of Kevin Owens and his son Owen... And made it bigger into John Cena is manipulating all of these children into believing in fairy tales that aren't true.
Just when you think John Cena is out of the main event, he pulls you back in. This is the United States champion and the NXT champion, and this is more important than the Money in the Bank match and the World Championship match, which is a ladder match. And kudos to both Cena and Owens for making this work. Like you said, involving Kevin's child. You know, Cena manipulating the wee ones. This is so good. This is so compelling. And the match is going to be fantastic, just like it was in the chamber.
This is very similar to the Bray Wyatt and John Cena feud, only they personalized it, and they've made it a lot more real with Kevin. And I think they're doing it the right way with Kevin, where they didn't with Bray.
Well, you don't have the supernatural kind of gimmicky stuff with Bray Wyatt anymore. This
That's what I mean. But it was kind of the same deal. Bray was kind of saying that John Cena was a liar and he was manipulating the children. And a lot of the same things, but it's been done in a much more realistic and simplistic way with Kevin. And Kevin's gotten the victories to back up what he's saying, where Bray really didn't get the victories. His only victory was because of little Johnny, who scared the hell out of John Cena in that
Absolutely.
Cage match.
Yeah.
Because that scared, you know, when you see a freakish kid, like, singing at the entrance of the steel cage, don't go out!
With his James Earl Jones voice.
Yeah, that was scary stuff. So, I don't know. I agree. I think Kevin Owens and John Cena is by far the main event of the show. I think it dwarfs the ladder match. I think it dwarfs the world title match. Like, because I think the ladder match is so predictable.
Yeah.
Like they've... I'll tell you, this is a one-year thing where, you know, Roman's going to win. But if they book the Money in the Bank ladder match this badly next year, boy, that gimmick is going to lose steam fast.
Well, they need 4 weeks to spurt it out. 2 weeks is unacceptable for a match of this magnitude.
Well, it's not just that. It's the field of competition. Like, the guys in it are not realistic, you know, guys to... Like, you look at everyone except Roman Reigns. Do you see any of them holding the world title within the next year?
No, that's the thing, though. Like, I mean, I think we mentioned it once or twice before. This would have been the perfect pay-per-view to do Seth Rollins versus Kane for the world title, because then you could have thrown Dean Ambrose into the ladder match and made things a lot more interesting, because Reigns winning it wouldn't have been as obvious. Ambrose could realistically pull it down. And then, you know, if Kevin Owens wasn't doing the Cena thing, you could even throw him in there and make him a contender for the briefcase. But now it's just like it's Reigns against nobody. You got Ambrose in the title match. He's not going to win. And then Owens and Cena is now the best thing on the card.
I tell you, it's gonna be exciting when Kevin Owens main events WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, Sami Zayn versus Owens is closing WrestleMania.
I don't think so. Actually, Sammy also had some nice things to say about Dusty Rhodes, even though he's injured and convalescing. So that was nice to see. But yeah, I don't know. It's looking pretty bleak and all of that for this card. I think, again, it is much like the last card. I think this show will be dictated by what happens with John Cena and Kevin Owens, and if it goes the wrong way, everyone will hate this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the ladder match or the other ladder match will matter a damn.
If Kevin Owens wasn't a part of the main roster right now, we'd probably be a lot more excited about the main event, because I think we're kind of underappreciating what Ambrose and Rollins can do, at least as a performer.
Oh, I think the match will be exceptional. I think they're a great match together.
Yeah.
It's been the storyline that sucked. I mean, we've had proof they can have great matches. Over a year ago, they were feuding. And it was great matches, and so much so that I said, you could carry this thing on for a year. So it's not that I'm against the fact of, you know, Rollins and Ambrose wrestling. I'm not. I'm against this stupid feud and the way they booked it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the feud makes no sense. It really is bizarre and idiotic, and like, to me, this feud always should have been the feud to turn Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's not happening, obviously, because Roman's going to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. The only other scenario that could be possible is if Roman wins the briefcase and Dean somehow were to win the world title, and then Roman comes out and cashes in right away on Dean.
Another interesting theory.
And goes heel. And joins the Authority. That would be the only thing I could think of. And then slowly Seth would obviously be drummed out of the Authority and become a babyface.
Right.
Which is probably the best thing for everybody at this point. Because I think, you know, Ambrose at least could say, well, he's got one title win now. So he won't be Roddy Piper. He'll never, like, retire without winning a world title.
Yeah.
Which is a distinct possibility for Dean Ambrose, even though he's a great performer, and I just see him getting screwed like this many times over.
I don't know. I would favor Dean Ambrose to win the main event of WrestleMania if they do the Shield triple threat.
I don't know. I don't see that personally. Like just based on how they seem to think that Dean Ambrose can absorb a lot more losses than I think he can.
Yeah, it was like 2014 and early 2015. It's just been like nonstop losing.
So, you know, could you imagine, though, if we end up Monday night with Roman Reigns as the world champion? That would be an ugly Raw.
Yikes.
And, you know, it would be something. I think, you know, even Seth is tolerable in comparison to Roman.
Mm-hmm.
But as a heel, I think he'd be great. Like, I think you'd get the booze that you want to have.
He'd be more watchable. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I'd be more compelled to, like, leave my TV on when Roman Reigns comes down through the fans or, you know, I mean.
Well, if he turns heel, I think that ends, right?
Yeah.
He would actually come out like normal people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Maybe he'll fight like six fans on the way to the ring. That would also be appealing too, but
yeah.
Probably not good for the WWE insurance-wise.
No clotheslines for anybody just running down the stairs.
Yeah, CM Punk elbowing that guy wasn't good for business, apparently.
No.
All right.
Clearly not.
Anyway, I don't know if this podcast was good for business, but I'm pretty much out of things to say. Other than reiterating what we said off the top, you know, our best wishes is out to the family of Dusty Rhodes. and you know, all that he's meant to the wrestling business. I mean, he's just a giant figure in the business, and you know, it's sad to see him go.
Rest in paradise, Dream.